happy place is something to be desired.
Yes.
Brother Grissom has said that seldom do we ever find ourselves in a place where everyone is happy.
Right.
And as he was saying that, it took me back to the scripture regarding Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. You know, I've got a very fertile imagination, but I can just visualize Solomon and his splendor and his the gold and the silver and all that went along with that kingdom. He had a glorious kingdom. God blessed him abundantly. And he was a man of wisdom that far surpassed the wisdom of any other king that ever reigned upon the earth. But that wasn't what the Queen of Sheba was impressed by. She wasn't impressed by his peacocks and his apes that he had imported from Africa. She wasn't impressed with the gold and the silver and the ivory. But what impressed her most, she had heard of the fame of Solomon and of his great wisdom and understanding. But what really impressed the Queen of Sheba, she said, "Happy are his servants." I believe if you're serving the right king, you're going to be happy.
Right.
If the servants of Solomon could be happy, certainly the servants of Jesus Christ can be happy. They were happy because they were serving. Most of the time, the people that are not happy, the people aren't doing anything. Well, I'm meddling now. Hallelujah. But when you're serving, amen, there is a happy, there's a joy. It brings satisfaction. How many that are happy when you are contributing, amen, to the kingdom of God? You're happy, amen, when you're involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. It's miserable, amen, to be uninvolved. You may be seated for a minute. I don't want to keep you standing. Remember, the Colgrove walked up to a group of men one day, and he said, "Is this the gathering of the uninvolved and disenchanted?" You can kind of, identify people by their facial expressions. Amen. I think that there ought to be a glow of joy on the face of God's people. Hallelujah. I don't want Grandpa's religion. You haven't heard that one. Amen, you should. Amen. As the little girl saw a mule, and your mules have a long face, and she said, "Mama, the mule's got Grandpa's religion." Amen. I don't want to look like a mule. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Happy are his servants. Glory. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. My dad's favorite song was "Oh Happy Day." How many know that song? Oh Happy Day. Hallelujah. I don't have to wait till I get over there to be happy. Oh hallelujah, because I've tasted, amen, of something that's heavenly. Hallelujah. I've been a partaker of heavenly things. Hallelujah. We can sit together in heavenly places today. Hallelujah. If we'll allow the Spirit of God, amen, to enter into our heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Amen. David said, I was sad. Did he say that?
Glad.
What?
Glad.
Glad. Hallelujah. How many are glad today? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, amen, that you have been made, amen, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, you ought to have joy in your heart. Amen. You ought to be full of the love of God today. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ is our joy. He's our peace. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and sadness. It's righteousness, peace, and what? Joy. Hallelujah. Everybody shout joy. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm glad for the joy of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we want to go to St. Luke chapter 10 today. St. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And can read either from the screen or from your Bibles. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. This is a very familiar passage of the Good Samaritan. And reading from the New King James Version, the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Now I want you to turn to someone today and ask them a question. How's life in your neighborhood? How's life in your neighborhood? God bless you, and you may be seated. How's life in your neighborhood? You know, I have read this passage of Scripture hundreds of times. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. Amen. I've even seen it lived out in the lives of men and women. But there was something that caught my attention, that grabbed me and drew me to this passage of Scriptures. I was beginning to pray and ask God, seek direction. That the Bible says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus. And the question that he posed to him was, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In order to inherit eternal life, that an individual must demonstrate the love and the mercy of God toward one's fellow man. Being a good neighbor is not just something that is desirable. I like to have good neighbors. I've lived in some good neighborhoods and I've lived in some bad neighborhoods. And I've lived in some neighborhoods that were kind of in between. But how's life in your neighborhood today? What kind of a neighbor do you think that God would have you and I to be? Because we are called to love our neighbor. This wasn't just a suggestion that it would be a good thing, it'd be desirable to be a good neighbor. The whole premise of this parable was predicated upon a question. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This isn't about choices that could be made that would be somewhat, you know, relative or that might be unsubstantial. But this has to do with that greatest premise of all, and that is inheriting eternal life. How is life in your neighborhood today? We're not talking about, we're not giving a civic lesson. We're not talking about something that might be desirable or that's something that might be a good thing to have. But we're talking about something that affects our eternal destiny with God. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's imperative that you and I understand that Jesus was not just, he was not just verbalizing, that he was not just sermonizing. He was not just telling a story for the lack of something to do. But he was answering a very important, a very vital question. It wasn't some insignificant individual that came to Jesus. But my Bible says, but a certain lawyer. One who was versed in the laws of God, in the scripture. If you're going to find eternal life, you're going to find it through the pages of this sacred book. The Bible says that we're begotten by the Word of God. We need to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The only way that you're going to ever come to a knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is through the pages of the Word of God. Hallelujah. How's life in the neighborhood? What does it really mean to be born again? Amen. If I was going to choose my neighbor, I would choose somebody like Brother Grissom to be my neighbor. Thank you, sir. I would choose somebody that loved God. Amen. With all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. You know, there was a day in America when being a neighbor really meant something. How many of you older generation, amen, remember when neighbors were really neighbors? Come on now. When there were pressing needs in the neighborhood. Amen. There were real Christians. Amen. Amen. That knew how, amen, to really be a help. The Bible says, amen, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And a neighbor that is near at hand is better than a brother that's far away. Come on now. What kind of neighbor, amen, are you and I in the world that we live in? How is life in your neighborhood? Does your neighbor know that you are a Christian? Amen. Do they discern that there's something different about your life? Amen. There was something about the first century people that called themselves disciples. Amen. That they, amen, manifest something that caused people to identify them with Christ. The Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. Amen. That people recognized there was something different about this body of believers that was unlike any other people that they had ever met, because they had a Christ-like spirit. They had a joy and a zest for living. As Christians, we ought to exude the love and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. We ought to be a people that's full of happiness and joy and peace. How's life in your neighborhood? Amen. I'd hate to be recognized as that grumpy old guy. Amen. That's always hollering at the kids. Come on now. I'd hate to be characterized as that preacher that always complains to the waitress because of how they brought his food. I'd hate to be characterized about the man that always has an insulting remark, that always has an air of superiority about him. Amen. That looks down his nose at other people like they were nothing or nobody. That's not the kind of a Savior that Jesus Christ, amen, was. He reached out to the lowliest, to the vagabonds, amen, to the street urchins, to the bag lady, amen, to publicans and sinners and harlots. Why? Because he loved humanity. What kind of a Christian are we anyhow? How's life in your neighborhood today? Is your neighborhood better today because of your relationship with God? If you moved today, would anybody miss you? Say, well, I'm glad that old guy has left the neighborhood. You know, sometimes neighborhoods improve, amen, by subtraction as well as by addition. Come on now. Would your neighborhood improve if you weren't in it? Do you really make a difference in your neighborhood? Could your neighbors depend upon you? Amen. If there was a need in their house, if there was a need among their friends or among their acquaintances. Amen. I'm talking about something, amen, that is predicated upon obtaining eternal life. What does it mean, amen, to love my neighbor? I believe that those who are born of the water and the Spirit are transformed from the inside out. Amen. That they might fulfill the law of love. The Bible tells us if we speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and we understand prophecy, and we understand mysteries, and we do all these mighty works, and we don't have love, that we're nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. How's life in your neighborhood? Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now that is a pretty direct question. It leaves little doubt as to what his query was. That his desire was that he might obtain eternal life. He put Jesus on the spot. Amen. He put him in a place where there was no wiggle room. Not that Jesus was looking for any. Not that Jesus was reluctant to tell him how that he could be saved. Amen. Jesus, amen, heard the question correctly. He wasn't asking how he could be a better citizen. Come on now. He wasn't asking, how can I be more popular in my community? He wasn't asking, how could I be a better father, a better husband, a better employee. He was saying, what must I do to be saved? But I want you to know, when you get a genuine, born again experience, you're going to be a better father. If you're not a better father after you've been born again, there's something that's not right with your situation. If you're born again, you're going to be a better husband, amen, than you were before. Hello? Well, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. If you get born again, you're going to be a better employee. You're going to be a better citizen of the community. If you get a genuine, amen, Holy Ghost, amen, salvation experience, life is never going to be the same in your neighborhood again, amen, because the Bible says that you are the light of the world, and a light that's set on a hill cannot be hid. We need to be what God has called us to be. How's life in your neighborhood today? Hallelujah. How's life in the neighborhood? Jesus got it. Jesus understood the question. But sometimes we overlook the answer. You know, sometimes, amen, people, amen, have complaints, but they really don't want solutions. It's easy, amen, to complain. It's easy to find fault. Amen. But sometimes it's hard to implement change, amen, that will rectify the situation. People come with problems. Hallelujah. People come with questions. But sometimes they don't like the answer. In counseling as a pastor of many years, that I have had the opportunity to answer people's questions, to deal with people's problems. And far and away, there are more people, amen, that don't like the answer than embrace the answer. Most people already have their mind made up when they pose the question. I wonder about this lawyer. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because when Jesus, amen, gave him the answer, instead of embracing, amen, the answer, the Bible says he tried to justify himself. Amen. We sometimes try to justify our actions. We come with our problems not because we're looking for an answer from God, but we're seeking approval. We're seeking approbation. We're seeking a pat on the back. We're seeking agreement. But if we're not in harmony with the Word of God, amen, we're not going to like the answer. Amen. God did not call me, amen, to win friends and influence people. Amen. Hello, I don't believe that we have to compromise our position, that we have to compromise, amen, the integrity, amen, of the Word of God, amen, in order to have friends. Praise God. Hallelujah. All we have to do, amen, is be a good neighbor. Hallelujah. How's life in your neighborhood? Oh, hallelujah. When I see a neighbor, amen, that is a good neighbor, amen, I will greet him. But Jesus said, don't just greet those that are your friends. He said, I want you to greet, amen, even those that despitefully use you. I want you, amen, even the Pharisees, amen, acknowledge those that acknowledge them. But if you're really the child of God that God called you to be, you're going to be a good neighbor even when that individual, amen, maybe they have not acted toward you in a very civil way. They have not treated you very kindly. Amen. You'll be a good neighbor. Because it's a matter of life and death. Jesus answered the question with another question. You know, the ways of God are so different from the ways of man that we sometimes ask a question and we immediately want God to give us a easy, concise answer to our need. But sometimes the answer is within us and we just don't have the wherewithal to dig and to discover. Amen. We think the answer is somewhere far across the ocean. If I just had more money, if I just had more education, or if I just had more this or that or something else, amen, the answer is not going to be something that's beyond you, but when God gives you an answer, it's something that is within your reach. Hallelujah. It's something that you can get a hold of. Hallelujah. Lord, who am I going to tell? Amen. Pharaoh sent me. You just tell him I am that I am. But Lord, I need something. I need some confirmation. He said, what you got in your hand? Hallelujah. I want you to know, amen, God has already given you everything that you need. Amen. To conquer the devil, to overcome your situation. All you need to get a hold of it and begin to commit yourself to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You don't have to be rich to be a good neighbor. In fact, the best neighbors I've ever had have been some of the poorest folks, the poorest church mice. Amen. The poor people, amen, when they see a need, amen, they don't have much but whatever they got in the cupboard. Amen. Here it comes a fetching. I remember when we didn't have very much and when we were growing up, Brother Grissom. Hallelujah. We didn't have much, but whenever there was someone else that had less than we did, amen, it was not too much, amen, for my parents to get in the cupboard and begin to grab things, amen, that we could do without. And they would go to the needs of those, amen, that were in greater stress than we were. Amen. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered the question with a question. He said, what is written in the law? Imagine that the answer was right in the book. Right here. Amazing that the answer would be found in the Word of God. You don't have to go to Barnes and Noble to find the answer. Amen. Walden Books doesn't have what you're looking for. You're not going to find it up on the couch of a psychiatrist. Hello? Amen. I know one who is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and whatever your need is, I'm convinced that my God, amen, can supply all of your needs according to His riches in heaven. Can you say praise the Lord? What is written in the law? And then he followed that with, what is your reading of it? Amen. If he hadn't been reading the law, I'm sure he had because he was a lawyer. But there is something to be said, amen, for those who do not read the Word of God. If we fail, amen, to read this book, if we fail to search the Word of God, man, how do we think that we are going to be able to understand the issues of life? Everything you need to know about money or sex or anything else, you'll find it right here in this book. Hello? It's in here. Mercy, grace, law. Amen. You name it, it's in this book. Every kind of saint and every kind of sinner. Every kind of good and every kind of evil. You're going to find it in the pages of God's holy word. Amen. Amen. What is your reading of it? How do you understand the Word of God? Jesus said, I want you to know, I believe the Bible contains all of the answers to the questions of life. This is a manual on life. How many times have you come across a problem and you didn't know how to handle it, you didn't know how to approach the situation, and so you picked up the handbook and you began to read the pages, began to scour it, began to search for that topic that would address the problem. I want you to know that the Word of God, you need to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We need to search the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your marriage will be better, amen, from the Word of God. Amen. Your finances will get better by adhering to the principles of the Word of God. That includes, amen, bringing your first fruits to the Lord. Your tithes and your offerings. Amen. It means, amen, helping those who are in need. If your brother, your sister's in need, amen, don't say, be thou warmed and filled. Amen. Fix him some potato soup. Amen. Help him up. Amen. If his ox is in the ditch, then get it out. Come on now. I'm talking about the practicality of the Word of God. Jesus gave him a practical answer. And the lawyer replied was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. And Jesus approved the answer. Amen. The lawyer already knew the answer to the question. Amen. People will come to the pastor and ask for direction when they already know direction. They already know what they ought to do. They already know what God's Word says. But they're hoping, just hoping, that maybe God will change his mind. Come on now. I know it's getting late. I'm going to wrap it up. Come on, Sister Hart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is just Sunday morning. Amen. Shelling the corn. This is just observing God, amen, through the pages of his holy book. Jesus approved and confirmed that he had answered well. He knew the answer to the question. And when he quoted the scripture, he was combining two verses. This verse, it's not in one place. You're not going to find loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbors yourself in one place. But he was combining two verses of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 18. And Jesus said in another place, he said, upon these two commandments hinges all the law and the prophets. If you don't get this right, nothing else is going to fit. If you don't love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to know how to love your neighbor. If you don't love God, you're not going to have joy. If you're not in love, I tell you, you can tell when somebody's in love. Amen. When you see young people, amen. Just tell, amen. When you see two young people in love, they can't hide it. That's right. You can't hide it because it shows all over the countenance. I remember people would shake my hand and they'd say, "Are you in love? Your hands are cold." My hand's still cold. I'm still in love. Amen, Sister Hart. I'm still in love. Hallelujah. Amen. And it'll show if you're in love or not. If you're not in love, it will also show. If you're just staying with that old bag, it'll show on your face. If you're just hanging in with that old geezer, it'll show. But Brother Gary, if you're in love, it'll show too. Oh, hallelujah. Happy are His servants. Woo! Happy are His servants. You know why we can be a good neighbor in the neighborhood? Hallelujah. Because we're in love with God. And we're in love with our neighbor. Amen. Upon these two commandments hinges all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. And love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. You want to be saved? You can't be saved unless you love God. I said, you can't be saved unless you love God. Amen. You can't love God unless you love your wife. You can't love God if you don't love your husband. And you can't be saved if you don't love your neighbor. You hear me tonight or today? Hallelujah. How's life in your neighborhood? Do people recognize something different about your life and your relationship? Oh, hallelujah. Brother and Sister Williams, when you're strolling down, amen, the sidewalk hand in hand with a smile on your face, amen, it speaks volumes. Oh, hallelujah. I like to be in a happy place. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you may be here about a long time ago. Amen. About a man named, you might not know much about except what you read, about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Amen. The kids loved Mr. Rogers because it was a happy place. I want you to know the house of God ought to be a happy place. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God ought to be a happy place. Amen. Because we've got something that the world doesn't have. We've got the answer. We already know the answer. So love your neighbor and love God. Hallelujah. Be a better citizen. Be a better husband. Be a better father. Hallelujah. Be a better child of God. How's life in your neighborhood today? God bless you, Brother Grissom.
Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Hosanna means save now, Lord. Save now, hallelujah. Praise God. Save us now, Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know what makes a good neighborhood? To have make sure that Jesus is there. Make sure Jesus is there. I read a story about some people. They were all talking about ideas of evangelism. Some of them talked about bringing in a big evangelist. They said that's how we evangelize. Rent a big auditorium, bring a big name evangelist, and my, we'll have revival. Another one talked about radio broadcasts and TV advertisements. Another one talked about billboards, talked about all kinds of ideas. There was a young girl there that had come recently from Africa. She said, well, she said, how we do it where I come from? She said, we just find a group of people that where there's no Christians, and we just send a Christian to live among them.
Praise God.
All right.
Hallelujah.
We just find a group where there's no Christians, and we just send a Christian to live among them. Woo! Can I say that one more time? We just find out where there's no Christians, and we just send a Christian to live among them. Woo! Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen. How's your neighborhood? Is there a Christian living there? How's your house? Is there a Christian living there? Amen. Praise God. What a challenging message. Amen. And how true. We need to pray for Sister Renee's grandfather before we leave today. He is not expected to live very long. Amen. So we need to pray for her and her family, and pray for this grandfather today. Would you go with me? And let's go to the throne together. Jesus Christ, you know this man, and you know his immediate need. Our greatest need is peace with God. And I pray that he has prepared for his journey and is ready to meet you. Amen. More than anything else, that he's ready to meet the Lord. Jesus, we pray today for his health and for his healing. And we pray today for Sister Renee and for her family, that you would wrap around them your comforting arms. We pray, God, that you would strengthen their faith. We pray today, God, that you would keep them in your grace. Amen. Embrace them today with the warmth of your presence and the great love wherewith you have loved us. Amen. We ask it today, and we give you thanks, and we give you praise. God, keep us as we go from this place. Guard us this afternoon. Help us to return this evening with praise on our lips, a song in our heart, clapping in our hands and dancing in our feet. Help us to come before your presence with singing and enter into your courts with praise. We thank you for it, God. Give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Give him a big old smile. Amen. Say, things going to be better in my neighborhood. Amen.